United States v. Schrum, number 17-3059. Counsel, if you'll enter your appearance.
Judge Matheson, may it please the Court. My name is Dan Hansmeier. I'm the appellate chief with the Kansas Defender's Office, and I represent the appellant, Walt Schrum. There are four issues in this appeal. The first issue asks whether a warrantless seizure of Mr. Schrum's home violated the Fourth Amendment. This is the issue that I intend to discuss today. If time permits, I'll also touch briefly on the third issue, which involves the district court's improper use of an appellate most favorable light standard to find facts in the first instance. And I'm happy to answer any questions about any of the other issues as well. But onto the warrantless seizure, just to do a bit more road mapping, I do intend to sort of touch on four points. The first, Illinois v. MacArthur, and how that plays out here. Crime scene exception, whether that exists. Mr. Schrum's consent, whether that happened, whether it's before this court. And then the good faith exception, same thing, whether it's before this court and whether it would apply. So that's where I'm going, but feel free to take me wherever you'd like. The general rule established by the Supreme Court is that if probable cause exists to believe that a container holds contraband or evidence of a crime, officers can seize the container pending issuance of a warrant to examine its contents if the exigencies of the circumstances demand it or some other recognized exception to the warrant requirement is present. Now, this general rule was applied by the Supreme Court in Illinois v. MacArthur to a home, which is what we have here.
Counsel, you're letting your voice drop at the end of sentence, and I'm having trouble.
Sorry. Okay.
If I can't hear you, it's not going to help you, that's for sure.
Yeah, I gotcha. I'll try to do better. I think I'm okay. So, MacArthur establishes four principles. The first is that there is probable cause that the home contained contraband. The second is that the seizure of the home lasts only as long as is reasonably necessary to obtain a warrant. The third is that the seizure is based on a reason to fear that contraband would be destroyed during this time frame. And the fourth is that the officers make reasonable efforts to reconcile their law enforcement needs with the demands of personal privacy. None of these factors exist here. With respect to probable cause, the government concedes on page 29 of its brief that probable cause did not arise until 11:30 a.m. The seizure of the home took place at 6:19 a.m. And we know that a seizure has to be constitutional at its inception. With respect to the durational aspect of getting a warrant, the officers weren't even trying to get a warrant here. So unlike in Illinois v. MacArthur, where that is what took place, there was a seizure in order to obtain a warrant. Here, that was not the reason for the seizure. With respect to fearing
the seizure of what? The house?
The home, yes. The officers did not seize the home at 6:19 a.m. to get a warrant. With respect to the reason to fear the contraband would be destroyed, there was no reason. The officers didn't even have any reason to believe that contraband was in the home or to suspect that Mr. Schrum did anything wrong.
Excuse me, Colonel. I am not following your argument at all based upon the case that I have in front of me. And that maybe it was when I couldn't quite understand how you were presenting your case at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the facts of this case, isn't this the case in which I'm clear on what the facts of the case are. Now, starting at the very beginning, what happened in the facts of your case?
Mr. Schrum's wife died unexpectedly at the home.
Okay, now take me from there as to where we're getting to a Fourth Amendment violation, because as I followed what we have here, there was a consent form after talking to your client allowing them to go, or allowing the individual to go back into the home to recover certain items. Am I missing something yet?
That's correct.
Okay, now tie that in. I understand the facts. I've got those straight. So tie that into as to your argument of where you're trying to take us.
So we're beginning with the warrantless seizure of the home because...
What was the warrantless seizure of the home?
That happened at 6:19 a.m. The home was seized. Mr. Schramm was not allowed to go home. And what follows from that is a scenario.
You're missing a whole lot of facts that take you to that point, it seems to be like, counsel. I mean, you're just jumping from where the officer... I assume that you're talking about when the individual that took the pictures...
Then notified
the DEA or...
No. So the argument flows from the unconstitutional seizure, meaning if the home had never been seized, none of the other things would have happened. So this is a Brown attenuation. So because Mr. Schramm would have been allowed into the home, should have been allowed into the home, there is no reason why the officers would have needed consent from him to go into the home. And therefore, everything that happens after the warrantless seizure is essentially a fruit of that unconstitutional seizure.
I'm following you now.
Okay. Right. Now, it's true that below, the court found the seizure constitutional. So we would have to remand for the Illinois v. Brown analysis, right? So I'm not here saying, I'm not here trying to argue the subsequent things, the consent, all of that stuff. What I'm trying to establish is that the warrantless seizure of the home was unconstitutional. And if that's true, this case needs to go back on that premise because that premise was not established
at
the initial hearing.
And if it's not true?
Well, if it's not true, then you're essentially stuck with the scope of consent argument, and that's the photograph. That argument would still remain alive because the initial even if you assume the initial seizure is constitutional, there's still an issue with respect to the scope of consent.
Counsel, could I just, if I'm understanding what you just said, that from 6:19 a.m. going forward, there was an unconstitutional seizure of the home?
Correct.
Okay. What are the implications of that position relative to law enforcement going to a crime scene and securing the area? Is that a seizure as well? Because isn't that what happened here? They have a death. It's an unexplained death. They're responding to it. They're not sure what it is. They think that the proper course is to protect the house and make sure it's not disturbed. That sounds a lot like securing a potential crime scene. So I'm just wondering how the broader implications of your argument and how it fits in with the case law. I'm not sure I'm putting my finger right on it, but that's a concern that I've been having about the case.
So I think what I would, if I'm understanding your question correctly, the first response to that is that there is no such thing as a crime scene exception to the Fourth Amendment. And I think Mincy v. Arizona sort of says that, although that's in the search context. But if that rule could somehow exist in the seizure context, Illinois v. MacArthur wouldn't exist. Because in that case, the home was clearly a crime scene. There was evidence that there were drugs in the home. That's the scene of a crime. If they could just seize that home for no reason, the analysis in Illinois v. MacArthur would have been really simple.
Well, but I think it's for no reason part that I'm not clear on. The yellow tape goes up, and you don't let people into places to ensure that the evidence is preserved, the evidence collection proceeds, and that sort of thing. And it just seems like the implication of your argument is any time law enforcement shows up anywhere where they need to secure the scene, all of a sudden you've got a Fourth Amendment seizure.
Well, I don't think that's true because I think in most of your cases there's a reason to secure the premises, and what is happening is that the officers either are already there, and because they're within the premises, the emergency aid exception probably hasn't gone away yet. That's sort of Segura, what happened in Mincy to some extent. You have a situation where they are probably getting a warrant to be in the home to investigate the crime, or you have a situation at a minimum where, like in MacArthur, you have probable cause, and here we have an admission that there was no probable cause. So the question, I think, that you're trying to get...
Where was the admission? No
problem. So page 29 of the government's brief, they say that probable cause was not established until 11:30 a.m., which is true. So I think what we're saying is very simply that Illinois v. MacArthur controls in this situation, and when you apply that test to the facts of this case, we win.
Well, that's where I'm having trouble getting to the point of applying the facts of this case
okay. To
your argument, unless I'm completely misunderstanding the facts as laid out to us, is that your client agreed that there needed to be an autopsy? Am I missing something there, too?
So you're talking about facts that come after the seizure, but yes, he wanted...
All I'm telling you is...
That's correct.
On the basis of the facts of what I understand this case is hinging on, you got to start from the beginning. You just can't jump up and say, the house has been seized. I mean,
okay. Who
seized the house and how?
So I'm trying to start from the beginning, which is at 6:19 a.m. the home was seized.
Oh, who seized it?
Yeah, can you tell
Officer
us what
Sowers.
Happened exactly at 6:19 a.m. and why that was the seizure?
Because this is an undisputed fact. At 6:19 a.m., Officer Sowers seized the home.
Well, he secured the home. Right, but here we're trying to figure out if it's a seizure at that moment when the police arrive and put the yellow tape up. At that moment, in every instance, it's a seizure. Is that what you're saying? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm repeating my colleague's questions, but that's what I'm trying to understand.
I think that is what I'm saying. At that point, okay. In order to seize the home, they need, under Illinois v. MacArthur, they need all of those things on their side. I do want to reserve some time for rebuttal.
Well, the time is up to the head of the panel. What I'm trying to get, the officer who you say seized the home, didn't he have consent to go into that home?
No, the consent came after the seizure at a point. What we're saying is that there would have never been consent absent the unconstitutional seizure. So, yes, in some sort of literal way, yes, there was consent. But that flows from the unconstitutionality.
Well, there had to be consent to allow entry into the home to recover the body, correct?
That's the emergency aid exception, correct,
right.
Yes.
So... Am I understanding correctly that the seizure happens at the point where they're not allowing Mr. Schrum back in the home?
Absolutely. The man wants to go home. He can't go home. We know at 14 minutes and 32 seconds on the recording, he's on the phone telling someone, I ain't home yet because they won't let me go home yet. So we know that he cannot literally go to his home. That has to be a seizure for constitutional purposes if he can't go to his own home.
Well, I think that's what we've been all asking. Is at what point and why was there a seizure? And I think that's your answer, correct?
I didn't think there was a dispute as to the seizure. I don't think anyone has ever argued that the home wasn't seized.
Well, we're just trying to understand how the law and the facts match up here.
Right. So I guess I do want to reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Good morning again, Your Honors. Jared Magg on behalf of the United States for the District of Kansas. There's a lot to unpack here, obviously. So we have the death of Ms. Hill. Officers, understandably, go ahead and secure the scene. They're not sure. We have the death of a young woman. Obviously.
Well, whether or not they're unsure, the question is, when and how did a seizure take place?
Right.
And that's what we've been sparring around with your opposing counsel on. And he's now clarified that he's maintaining and arguing that once his client was denied the right to go back into his own home,
right,
that constituted a seizure. And my question to you is, Why is that not a seizure?
I think, Judge Baldock, when you balance the interests of the defendant against what the government's interest here was in securing the scene to determine what had happened, and you look at what his interests were, he agrees that he wants an autopsy done. So his interest is, I want to know what happened myself. Their argument is that because he was told he could not go back, somehow that constituted the seizure, and that they needed probable cause at that point to get into the house. And they rely on MacArthur for that.
We're being told things that I think we know. The question is that an unreasonable... When he can't go home, okay, he can't go home. The question is, is that an unreasonable request under the facts of this case?
No, it's not. And I don't think MacArthur stretches that far. Because I think what they are arguing is that somehow the government needed something, some reason to seize, and they're asking it to be probable cause to seize. Now, we concede that probable cause to search at that point occurred at 11:30 when the officer returns and realizes that he's seen the ammunition. But to seize, that's a possessory interest, not a privacy interest. This was not a search. So the possessory interest, whether or not it was unreasonable, when you balance his interest against the government's interest, and his interests, again, are that he wants to know what happens. So to the degree that his interests are impinged in the way that you would say the interests of somebody like in the MacArthur case, where they know, they're there on the scene, they know there's marijuana in the house, and they have reason to go in.
Well, counsel, I'm a little confused about just the analytical order of what you've just said. I mean, when they refused to let him into the house, would you agree, this is one alternative, that was a seizure, but is your argument that it was a reasonable, justified seizure because of the balance of interest? Or, number two, are you arguing that it wasn't a seizure because there was a reasonable balance of interest? In other words, have we crossed the Fourth Amendment line or not?
Right, and I want to be responsive to your question, Judge Mathis, and I think that is the line, and what my colleague said, when he is told by the investigator at the time, hey, we're gonna hold the house, is that the line? Because, again, up to that point, it's arguable that he didn't even know that the officers were there. I think that's the line.
Okay.
If that's the line for seizure.
So do you agree, are you and Mr. Hansmeier in agreement that there was a seizure at that point?
No, I agree that is the arguable line where a seizure may have occurred under the law. If it's a seizure in and of itself, you then have to look at the MacArthur analysis under that to determine whether or not that was a reasonable seizure. Our purpose is, okay, for purposes of argument that was a seizure, under MacArthur it was reasonable for them to secure the home at that point in time.
I understand that part, but what about your argument that it wasn't a seizure in the first place?
Well, simply securing the home, as a possessory interest, it wasn't a seizure of the home.
Well,
he wasn't told.
According to counsel, he was told he couldn't go back in his home.
About 3 hours after they secured the home. So if that's the drawing line from 6:19 till about 9:30 when he's told, we're going to hold the scene, they're just there.
So now the debate is between 6:19 and 9:30. Counsel said seizure started 6:19. You're saying it doesn't start.
I don't, and I think that goes to your question earlier on about does just putting up the crime scene tape begin seizure under the Fourth Amendment? Our position is no, it does not. And for example, let's say troopers come upon a wreck in the middle of a farm field, and it's obviously a catastrophic event. They've put up crime scene tape. 5 minutes later, a guy comes along with a tow truck and says, "Hey, that's my car. I'm taking it." Well, no, they've put up the crime scene tape. They don't know what's happened. They don't have probable cause to believe. They just know that they have a catastrophic event.
I hate to interrupt you. Was there yellow tape put up? I mean, we keep talking about tape.
Right.
I don't think that's the facts of this case.
I don't think so, Judge Baldock. What we have is a log sheet, which would suggest that people enter and leave the scene. So they're there for purposes of securing the scene. But no, it does not appear at any point that they put yellow crime scene tape around anything. They just kept officers at the scene. And that log is in the record. So we know when people came and left, which would suggest that they were there for a reason.
Now, at the 6 a.m. time frame, is that when the officers were present on the premises at the same time that the gentleman was told, you cannot go home?
No, he was told that by the investigator when he was being interviewed at the law enforcement center.
At what time?
That started around, I believe it was around.
It ended about
9:30.
Opposing counsel is saying my client was seized at 6 a.m. or whatever it is in the morning. You're saying no, he was not told that he could not go home until 9 o'clock.
That's
in the
true.
Morning.
That is accurate because when they left with Ms. Hill at around 6 a.m. They arrived early.
And why could he not go into his own home at 9 o'clock?
Because at that point, when they realized she had passed away at the hospital, they brought him in to ask him questions. And it's clear that from what he tells the officer that she's probably overdosed, he says, well, we're going to hold the scene until the autopsy's done.
We're going to hold the scene. Is that not the equivalent of a seizure of that home?
I don't think so under MacArthur. That's our argument. I think it's a seizure.
Yes.
I think it's, to be very direct,
it is a seizure under the Fourth Amendment.
It is a seizure. Is it a reasonable seizure? I think is the answer I'm trying to get to. It is a reasonable seizure under the Fourth Amendment when you balance his interest against the government's interest in this case. And it gets to the issue of MacArthur and what they want this court to find in that holding. That you have to have probable cause to hold the house, and only probable cause.
I think what we're trying to see where you are at 9 o'clock or whatever the exact time was, when he was told he could not go in the home and you had the officer stationed around that, do you not now at that point in time have the implication of the Fourth Amendment?
You do.
All right.
Absolutely. And to be responsive to that, yes, you do. I think where we were crossing paths here was the reasonableness of that seizure.
And your argument is he was not told at 6 a.m. in the morning that
no.
he couldn't go home.
Judge, there's no record support that he was told that he's not going back into the house. Remember, he is with Ms. Hill going to the hospital. They don't actually run into Mr. Shrum, law enforcement, in the context of asking him questions about Ms. Hill's death until after... at the hospital, and Detective Cook or Investigator Cook asks him to come to the law enforcement center to answer questions. It's very open. You have the audio recording before you. You'll hear him talking to his landlord. He seems very understanding when Investigator Cook says, "Look, we want to hold the home." He wants the autopsy. He wants to know what happens. He ultimately gives consent.
Now, are the officers around the house at the time that the officer exercises the consent to go in the
yes.
house?
Okay. Yeah, and you can see that, Judge, from the actual entry and exit log that's in the record of who's there and when he goes in and who comes out. And again, this is a very small county and a very small group of law enforcement officials, so you're not talking about an enormous group of people. And, of course, this is a very small house. So it's not as if, you know, there are dozens of lights and sirens. There's a few officers there, and he's told, you know, you're not getting in until the autopsy's finished, of which he seemingly agrees under that. But to get to the issue of MacArthur, because I think it turns on this, as to whether or not you absolutely can only use the probable cause analysis as a basis to seize the actual home in this case. And I, you know, if you look at Justice Breyer's decision in MacArthur, He says, we conclude the restriction at issue is reasonable and lawful in light of the following circumstances. And he says they had probable cause. He seemingly could have just ended right there. They have probable cause. But he goes on to list a number of factors as to why the restriction here was reasonable, which I think favors the government's argument here that the reasonableness of securing this is less than probable cause, but for reasons balanced against his interests, weighs in the government's favor to determine why she died. I mean, you can imagine any situation where you have a death, but you're just not sure what happened, but a need to determine for any number of reasons why the death occurred and why you need to hold the scene so there is not some manipulation of the scene so you can get a full understanding of what happened. If you needed probable cause in every instance to hold that scene, and I understand he talks about the crime scene exception, but if you needed probable cause in every instance to do that, you can only imagine how difficult it would be for law enforcement to make that decision right there.
Well, counsel, do you have any authority that would justify the securing or seizure of a home when there is not probable cause?
And no. To answer your question directly, Judge Matheson, there I could not find a case directly on point, and which is not uncommon necessarily in Fourth Amendment analysis. But MacArthur, I don't think, holds at least as definitively as what my colleague suggests.
But aren't you asking us to go a little further than MacArthur provides?
Not necessarily. When you look at what the court's core understanding or core implications of the Fourth Amendment are as far as reasonableness. So I don't think we're asking the court to say, you know, somehow we disagree with MacArthur, or, you know, MacArthur was, you know, we cannot follow its logic. It is a balancing of interests.
Counsel, because I know you want to continue, but I have to ask you about consent. I thought part of your argument was that he consented to the seizure of the home because he agreed that an autopsy had to be made and on an, you know, but you haven't used the word consent in connection with the seizure of the home. You said something like he was very understanding about the seizure of the home. So I really want to push you on the issue of consent,
right?
Because I thought that was your argument.
Yeah, and Judge Hyde, I can't. I have to concede that it is based on simply his reaction when Investigator Cook says we're going to hold the home. His reaction is okay. It goes to his larger understanding of what was at stake, which goes to his interest, his possessory interest of the house, which he seemingly is giving up. He's saying, look, I want an autopsy. I know what needs to be done, and you're asking that I can't go into the house. I'm fine with that. You'll hear on the audio, I'm telling my landlord, hey, they're not going to let me back in. You know, he's not objecting to any of this. Investigator Cook doesn't come right out and say, you know, Mr. Shrum, I'd like your consent to hold the home. That doesn't happen. It is simply in the larger context of his conversation with Mr. Shrum, when they're at the law enforcement center trying to find out the best way to determine how Ms. Hill died.
Does the officer, do you believe the officer has to ask directly?
I think in this instance it certainly would have helped, because we can see there was not probable cause until 11:30. So to answer your, and I don't want to be evasive, but I think in the non-probable cause context, certainly if they had probable cause, they don't have to ask. We're going to seize the house. We have PC. We saw it. We smelled it. We heard it. We're going to get a warrant, so we're going to hold the house. But in this context, when you look at the balancing interests, to come right out and hold or establish a rule that says you have to ask for consent when you do not have probable cause, I don't necessarily believe that the Fourth Amendment jurisprudence requires that. And I hope that that's responsive to your question.
Thank you,
Judge,
counsel.
Thank you.
You're over time, and appreciate your argument.
Okay, I'm gonna try to make 3 points. The first one is that there is record evidence that he knew of the seizure. I don't think this is at all relevant, but there is record evidence that he knew of the seizure prior to 7:50 a.m. because around 7:50 a.m., this is at 14:32 on the disc, he says, quote, "I ain't home yet because they ain't letting me go home yet." But again, I don't know, it doesn't matter whether it's 7 or 9. The home was seized, he wasn't allowed in. On MacArthur, if MacArthur is the test, there's no way the government wins this case. You can go through the four factors. There's no probable cause. That's admitted. They're not obtaining a warrant. That there's no evidence that in the process of seizing the home, they did it to get a warrant. When you look at the reasonable efforts to reconcile his needs, compare that to what happened in MacArthur. The man in MacArthur was allowed to go in his home to smoke a cigarette. Mr. Shrum wasn't allowed to go in his home to use the restroom. He had to relieve himself outside. And the fourth factor, the destruction of evidence, again, they don't suspect that he did anything wrong. So there's no concern in the record that he was going to destroy evidence. So I have 13 seconds. Consent. The government didn't argue consent below. The district court didn't address consent below. So it's not even before this court. And he didn't consent. This is classic Bumper v. North Carolina, mere acquiescence to a show of authority. And my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you. This case will be submitted. Counsel are excused. Thank you for your arguments.